got home yet. We're not in the millennium. We're not beyond the problems and the troubles of our world. And yet, we do have hope. We're not governed by fear. I want to preach for a little while what I feel like God laid on my heart to help you. And again, it's good to be with you at here at Whitfield. We don't get to come by very often. We don't get to go anywhere by choice very much anymore. We're all living by the calendar, and it's been a very busy year. We've been overseas, Philippines twice or three times, been to the West Indies, been to Spain, and we've saw God do some great things and is doing great things around the world. Had a very busy schedule here, homeside. As a matter of fact, I thought I was booked today. I forgot I got canceled, and so we got up this morning, and last night I was going on my calendar and said I was supposed to be here. And Judy said, yeah, they called and had an obligation come up. And so we were able to just drop by this morning. And I pre-adventure thought maybe Brother Joe would preach, but I did have the message on my heart. And so I'm certainly honored that he would allow me the opportunity to share in his pulpit. I love this man of God and his family, just each one of you. We just thank everything about you. And reading out of Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, I ask that in the allotted time and moments together here at Whitfield Pentecostal Church, God, that you would allow me the anointing that makes preaching effective. God, let faith arise. Help me this afternoon to console the children of God concerning the evil times in which we live, and the perilous times in which we face. Let faith arise in every heart, confidence in our God. Lord, you stated, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You and I are certainly aware of the conflict between fear and faith. We live in perilous times. Fearful things are coming upon the earth with increased regularity. We're living in times that we do not know what the next hour may hold. When you look through the Word of God, 522 times the subject of fear is dealt with. You and I, by human nature, are subject to fear. There's a lot of things that scares us. Each individual has their own phobia of some type or another. Some fearful of the dark, some fearful of a crowd, some I have phobias concerning elevators and spiders and snakes, and the list is almost endless of the things that we fear. When we look at men through the Word of God, the great patriarchs of faith of the past, we find that they were also subject unto these things that you and I are afraid of. No greater man bragged on anymore than the man called Job. Bible said he escheweth evil, walketh uprightly, feareth God. And the Lord bragged on him to the devil himself. And the Lord said to Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in all the earth?" And Satan said back to God, "You've got a hedge around him. I can't touch him. But if you take your hedge down and let me afflict him and trouble him, and he would curse you to your face." And the Lord said, "I've got confidence in Job," and you know the story. The Lord allowed his hand to be lifted, and Job became a tried and tested man. And in all of his trials and tests, Job said these words, "The thing that I greatly feared is come upon me." I just take note of that when the trial and the trouble came, the thing that Job was afraid of is the door through which Satan come with all of his attacks against his life. You and I live in fearful times. We live times where now, you know, everybody's got to know their cholesterol count. You've got to know your blood pressure, high, low, medium. You got to know, amen, what your sugar count is. And you've just got all of this stuff you run through your mind. I had to go to a 3-year checkup. Went there and they told me I was in terrible shape. I said, "Well, I'm still alive, ain't I? Amen." And he said, "Well, this pill ain't working and that pill ain't working." And I said, "That should be the way it is." He said, "Why?" I said, "I hadn't took one in over a year." Amen. I throwed all of that away. He said, "Well, but he just goes through the list. And I want you to know how your grandma was. What did she suffer from?" I said, "Well, for best I know, all my grandma suffered from something because they all died." Amen. The youngest one died at 88. The rest of them went on close to, one was 103. Amen. Well, they want to talk about something else then, because they're trying to put credence to some type of generational curse. Grandpa had it, you going to get it. Well, Grandpa had a lot of things. Amen. And I'm kin to him. I might have incorporated some of that Grandpa had. Somebody said, "Well, you're going to get everything your daddy had." I said, "Well, I don't know. I got 5 siblings. They're going to divide it up some among themselves. And when the war settles and we ain't gouged one another's eyes out, killed one another, he said, "I ain't talking about that." I said, "Well, why do you want to develop things that has no credence whatsoever with the Word of God or relationship with God? It doesn't matter what your granddaddy done. One of my grandpas built a whiskey still and sold whiskey, but I hadn't built no still. Hadn't even got a desire to build one." Amen. There's so much that we are bombarded with from the world's perspective until we've lost sight that those perspectives are contradictory to the Word of God. When I got born again, the Bible said old things passed away. All things became brand new. I still believe that the blood of Jesus cuts that old man off. I believe it cuts off that genealogy. Amen. Because I'm tied in now to the eternal genealogy. I'm not my own. I belong unto the Lord Jesus Christ. But nonetheless, we live in fearful times. The 522 times fear is dealt with in the Word of God. It has seven different meanings in the Hebrew. Fear not in the Old Testament simply means don't dread. If you belong to God, God's in control. You can live in fear of things that may or may not ever come your way. Just dreading what's going to happen tomorrow. Well, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. One thing I do know, the sun's going to come up. You and I may not be here to see it, but I can assure you the sun is going to come up tomorrow. I had a feller get mad at me because I didn't get on board with the blood moon theology of our day. I said, well, I just want to ask you one question. Why do they pick out the blood moon, amen, out of Scripture and delete the sun turning black and stars falling from the heavens? I'm not getting caught up in their fear tactics to promote a book, to promote a ministry. No, no. I just don't live dreading tomorrow. Jesus said it like this. Don't worry about tomorrow. Today's got enough trouble. Anybody here got any problems? Sure. Everybody here has got problems facing them today. Right now, if that's not the case, then why did we spend 30 minutes making prayer requests out of 50 people? Problems abound. Trouble is everywhere. Not a family here not facing with things. My phone rang at 9 o'clock this morning. I've got a second cousin. They've got a 26-year-old daughter, Natalie Talbert. They found her dead in the bed this morning. 26. Called me yesterday and said, Natalie's sick. She's been sickly. She's the same age as our son, born long about the same time. And she was born afflicted. Suffered with muscular dystrophy, and it's intense as she got older. And what a tragedy. I'm just telling you, you ain't got to worry about tomorrow. There's enough trouble today. Just serve God today and put your tomorrows in the hand of God Almighty. He's already told us here this morning, I am in control. I am able to keep, to deliver, to do all things. He's still God the last time I checked, and has God the Almighty. Amen. I don't have to dread what may or may not be tomorrow. God's already there. Everything's under control. I don't know what's going to happen. I do know a lot of problems today, but I can look back at my yesterdays and say I had problems yesterday too. In my past, 35 years ago, He saved me, washed me in His blood. There'd been a lot of trouble and a lot of waters went under the bridge. But 35 years later, I can say, thank God, He's never left me. He's never forsook me. He's never give up on me. I went through some terrible times. Several times looked like I was going to die, but I didn't die. God made a way. One day something will happen and I will die, but to die in Christ is to be awake in eternity with the Lord forever and forever. I will fear no evil. I won't live dreading what may or may not come. I like the way you're looking. I'm going to try to the best of my ability to live one day at a time. And live it in the grace of God. Live it with right relationship with the Almighty. I looked on. This Bible talks about it in Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. I looked this fear of man up. And it has three aspects to it. And it is a progression. And it wars against everything in the natural. The fear of man brings quakening, which is a nervous condition. I just don't know. It is a progression of getting worse when the fear of man grips your soul. Not only does it produce a nervous condition, but a nervous condition plays on your mind. Mental anxiety. And once you have a tormented mind, the door is wide open for the assault of the devil, and he manifests himself through your life by breaking your health. It all starts out, Job said it best, the thing I greatly feared is come upon me. Nervous condition produces mental anxiety. And if you worry over it long enough, it'll fester and manifest itself. You can make cockatrice fly. What is a cockatrice? It's a mythical god made up by the imagination of a man. It is part rooster and part serpent with foul wings, and it will fly. You said there's no such creature. That's right. But you developed it in your mind and produced it in reality by the curse of sin, of unbelief. I will fear no evil. But let's be rational. Do we not live in fearful times? Let me remind you, Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:1, this know also. In all of your knowing, know this. That's what he's saying, this know also. In everything you're reading, everything you're seeing, you're watching it come to pass, this know also in the last days, perilous times shall come. I just kind of believe they're here. You just don't know what's going to come. They're going to come. What does the child of God do in these perilous times? Do we build bomb shelters? Well, I'm not so much interested in a bomb shelter because they got Moabs now. That bomb shelter busting bombs. They ain't anywhere to hide. They were stealing turtles off the Gnofis Islands over down there out from Ecuador. And so they invested the money in the United States has given them a bunch of drones loaded with missiles. Now you can't even steal a turtle. You get shot. I don't know why I thought about that. Might be because last Friday afternoon, I looked out in my front yard and there was a giant turtle out there, a prehistoric one. I'm talking about the biggest gopher I ever saw. I got out there and it wasn't a gopher at all. It's some kind of African tortoise. And so, and he was so friendly when I come out there. My son-in-law was there. He said, I ain't never saw a turtle like that except in the zoo. I said, me neither. And I said, I don't know if that turtle is just like George. And when I said, George, that turtle stuck his head up. Here he come. Oh, head flopping. And he come over there. He's pulling on my pants leg. I said, he's a tame turtle that thinks he's a dog. I fed him a whole head of Judy's lettuce out of the refrigerator. So my daughter come by and said, hey, they got a reward poster up at the store for that turtle. And so I went down and got in contact with the lady. She showed up and she said, Manny. She wept and cried. That turtle nibbled on her ear. She's this big around. The turtle is not the woman. And that turtle was a nudging and a kissing on her. She said he's been gone for nearly a month. It took him nearly, 4 weeks to crawl 4 blocks to wind up in my yard. Probably got in my yard because I ain't been home long enough to cut my grass. And he thought he'd arrive back to Africa, to a jungle. And then she told me that I got $250 reward out for that turtle. I said, $250 reward out for a turtle? Yes, I said, I don't want your reward. You can have your turtle. She's weeping and crying. I never saw folks with missed affections as they got them in this day. But then she told me that turtle cost her $1,000. I said, I'd have been crying too to fit old Manny back. And then she told me, Manny's a male turtle.
She said, I get $300 for stud service with Manny the Turtle. I said, oh my, I'm in the wrong business as far as money is concerned. No wonder they got drones flying over the Gavaska Islands out there, disintegrating folks trying to steal turtles. First thing I saw when I saw Manny, he looked like a big old gopher. Well, let's eat him. We live in fearful, perilous times, and people have become totally retarded, redundant on what they are having their revelation of their affections are all turned around backwards, messed up and upside down. How do we respond in these times? Jesus said this in Matthew 24:6, ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. I will fear no evil. Yes, there's wars. Yes, there's rumors of wars. Yes, we're facing World War III. And yes, it may happen before the rapture of the church or before we get out of here in any wise. But I am telling you, no matter what is going on in the world, He said, I have a shepherd. Amen. He said, Jesus speaking, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm with you always. And therefore, you can conclude with this statement, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. But peradventure, that's not enough evidence. In Mark 13:7, when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled. In Luke 21:9, when you hear of wars and commotions, I said, be not terrified. Well, if you are a news hound, you've got a fear problem. Because you can't watch that afternoon, evening news without scaring you half to death. They ain't got anything good to say. I give up on them. I come to understand they are not ever going to have anything good to say. Why should I torment myself listening to a bunch of idiots that have no idea about how to run a nation, how to govern in a world, how to treat their fellow man? They have lost all sense of direction whatsoever. They've got their head buried in the sand. They're like the ostrich. They're breaking their own eggs. Get mad with me if you want to. Say we need to know what's going on. Get back to the Word of God. He done said what's going on. And if your thrill is watching five or six divided down the middle, liberal and conservative, discuss what the news is and what they want you to think about the news and how they want you to respond to the news, you're already headed for an insane asylum with the rest of them nuts. One feller told me he could prove they wasn't all crazy at the insane asylum. He said feller was pulling a wagon load of chicken manure by Chattahoochee down here, the mental institute in the state of Florida, and had a blowout, pulled offside the road, and there was two of them custodians there that they're sane enough, they let them rake the leaves at the insane asylum on the outside, and them two fellers is leaning on their rake, and one of them asked that feller what he going to do with that chicken fertilized. He said, I'm going to put it on my strawberries. And the other feller that's as crazy as the other one leaning on the rake said, looked at him and said, and they think we're crazy. Hey, you hear me? The whole world's governed by nuts. Ain't anybody going to put, hey man, chicken fertilized on their strawberries. And two crazy men thought he meant to eat them. We live in a troubled world. And if you're not careful, you'll cease to eat your fingernails off into the quick. You'll start gnawing your toenails if you can get your toes to your mouth. Just all types of nervous condition. Terrified by everything. Scared of everything. Ebola's coming. AIDS is here. And on. Can't even get in the bay no more. You get a flesh-eating disease. Sister Rachel Caraway's mama. Know them folks well. Preach for. Amen. Got scratched by a barnacle in the bay on her arm. I was motioning for her leg, but it's up here. And she's been in the hospital near about die. They look like they might have to amputate her arm from just going fishing in the bays. There's all types of Ebolas, all types of pestilence, all types of things. And it's striking with regularity and getting worse, Brother Parker, by the day. And if we just sit around and follow up on all that's happening in these perilous times, we will become creatures terrified by our own shadow. Why not just love God today? Don't worry about tomorrow. Live by faith. I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they do comfort me. Thou anointest my head with oil, prepares a table before me, even in the presence of mine enemies. And when it's all said and done, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever and forever. I will fear no evil. But it's hard to do. I said it's hard to do. It's hard not to run home. I got XM radio. I mean, I get 24-hour news. I can get the news as quick as it's happening. Our seals can land on a beach in Yemen or somewhere. Amen. News reporters there, turn the light on, get a picture of them crawling up out of the ocean. Instant news. All of it bad. We ain't had a whole lot to report good. We've got nuts running the world. And them nuts has got their fingers on doomsday bombs. We liable to leave out of here on an incinerator cloud. We don't know when it's going to go off. When the demise of the Soviet Union, which is more powerful now than she's ever been in her history, in spite of them talking about our failures, we gave them all that foreign aid for 20 years since for a breakdown. They've developed the most sophisticated war equipment that's ever flown in the heavens above. And we're wondering now whether or not our Patriot missiles can even shoot them down. Seven nuclear subs has turned up missing from the breakup of the former Soviet Union. They say they were cut up for scrap, but you must bear in mind, if they were indeed nuclear, somewhere on this earth is enough dirty plutonium to blow New York and every major city in the United States completely off of the map. So I'm not naive concerning the news. I just don't listen to it. I read it. I'm not interested in somebody reporting the news sitting at a round table, all of them female, with not enough clothes on to make mockingbird leggings, and all of them showing their behinds. You can watch that if you want to. You can feed your fear, or you can feed your faith. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Fear cometh by looking upon those things which are coming upon the whole earth to try it. And if you spend more time looking at the things which are coming upon the earth than you do feeding your faith, you're headed for a tormenting time. If you're not already there. Me and Dad was somewhere, feller preaching on money or none. Stated that a dollar now was only worth a little less than 50 cents. I was talking to somebody. Dad went on out, man out there trying to sell his book. Dad walked up to him, stuck his hand out, introduced himself, said, "I've been preaching for 40 plus years and said, I heard you say that our dollars ain't worth the whole lot. He said, about 50 cents on a dollar. He said, I'll give you 75 cents for every one you got in your pocket right now. Feller wouldn't sell him a one. I come along, come outside, shake his hand, tell him I appreciate all the information he'd give. I said, I got some dollars. I said, that means I give you $1 for your two. 50 cents a dollar is what you said it was worth. And then you got these other nuts saying, get rid of all your dollars and buy gold. Now, wait a minute. All these folks that's got this good gold is wanting you to invest in their good gold with your bad dollars. So they're willing to take all your bad dollars and give you all their good gold somewhere that doesn't add up. It creates fear. It creates unbelief. And we are so susceptible to it till we do not realize the subtle pull of that world. Whatever the devil can put in your spirit that's contrary to the Word of God, that causes you to keep your eye on that world and take your eye off Christ, you're going to drown if you don't wake up and get a hold of the Master's head. I will fear no evil. I'm just going to keep spending my dollars until the dollar crashes, and then they'll get something else. There's going to be some kind of economy till we get out of here. I don't know if it's going to be the Japanese yen, the Iranian dinar, the Jewish shekel. I can assure you it's not going to be the Jewish shekel. I also know it's not going to be the U.S. dollar. It is going to crash. But I'll fear no evil. Me and my brother was younger. I think we was at Ebenezer or somewhere. They had a feller preaching. He's preaching on the horrible times of the Depression. He said, I'm just telling you, if a possum went across the road, five of the fleetest footed men would be chasing him. He said, if a feller came through J. Florida selling $5 bills for 50 cents, five families couldn't raise 50 cents to buy the $5 bill. He said there wasn't no money. He said all we had to eat was fish out of the river, cornmeal from the grits mill, and figs off the tree, and okra out of the garden, and black-eyed peas, and some oysters from out of the bays. And my brother leaned over to me, just 8 or 9 years old, and said, I wish he'd hush. He's starving me to death. He was trying to paint a picture of how doom and gloom and how bad it was. Amen. I can just tell you, folks, why don't we look at the picture of Calvary? That's the picture of the epitome of doom and gloom. But there's a bright day coming because Calvary was only that which pointed till Sunday. Amen. Jesus is going to get up. A stone's going to be rolled out of the way, and He's going to stand triumphant over sin, death, and the grave and declare, because I live, you shall live also. I will fear no evil. I'm not so foolish also to know that there's not a great amount of pain in the present hour. I got the newsletter, the last one printed in September by the Coptic overseer of the Mayan province in Egypt. It's never made one newscast. He said, I wrote for years in pleasant times. I wrote for years of how God had prospered us and how the Coptic church was blessed of God all across Egypt. And then he said, the West rose up against us, overthrew our president, and allowed a democratic form of government to come in. And he said, the Muslim en masse voted in the Muslim Brotherhood. He said, in my province, in the month of September, or the month of August, 300 Christian businesses burnt to the ground. 100 Christian homes at present burnt to the ground. 10 Christian organizations annihilated. Not a one left. They killed every one of them at never made the newscast. And he said, now I'm in hiding. This is my last letter. I'm about to be martyred for the cause of Christ. But he said, shall I deny my God now that hard times have come? Shall I walk away from my God that blessed me and blessed my family for 40 years? I've lived for this great God. I've served His Christ. And now crisis has come. But he said, I'm finding Him more closer. I'm finding Him more intimate now than I've ever known. He said, our church services have taken on a peculiarity that I cannot explain. There's the presence of Almighty God. We know the next song we sing, we may see His face. We know the next service may be our last. But there's a joy that comes that I cannot explain to you. There's a depth to Christianity I never knew existed. He hasn't been heard from since September. He's probably already in the city of the redeemed. I'm telling you, though perilous times come, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they shall comfort me. He'll take care of us no matter what we face. If we face Him in faith, I will fear no evil. Should not we be as John on the Isle of Patmos, after looking at all the things coming upon the whole earth, to try it? His testimony stands the test of time and the troubles of all life. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And I climaxed. He stated these words in final. He said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. I believe that you and I are living in American culture at a time when the world is overrun and flooding the church. When you look, the four largest so-called Christian churches in America with membership, one of them, Candy Cotton Boy, Joel Osteen, 30,000 members in the city of Houston. Three other largest churches in America are found in the Houston area. All four of the pastors have come out affirming the lesbian mayor and what she's doing against that church that is the remnant church. I can tell you what, folks, the handwriting is on the wall. The flood of filth has come. And it seems like there's very few of us left anywhere in this country. But I can assure you, it don't take churches running 30,000 to affirm and proclaim and demonstrate the power of the living Christ. It just takes somebody somewhere that won't be governed by fear. I'll not fear them taking my 501c. I'll not fear them auditing me. I'll not fear them requiring me to turn in everything I preach. I'm not scared of that. I'm not going to volunteer none of it. They'll come get it when it's time. But we've arrived at a place where godly men and godly women that take a stand for truth and reality are going to start turning up missing in the night. That's how corrupt this thing has got. But I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Out of this quagmire of sin and rebellion and mockery against the thrice holy God, God's going to lay His hand on somebody somewhere that's going to rise up like a Shamgar of old and going to defend His pea patch with an ox goad and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I will fear no evil. My God. Don't be alarmed. Trust me. I'll keep thee. You're the apple of my eye. I've never abandoned my church or walked away from it. Nor shall I start. I'm in control. The end has come. And unto them that look for me, they're going to see me arrayed in all power, over principalities, over dominions, over regimes. I rule and I reign. I set kings up. I bring kings down. I move nations. I set them up and I move them out of the way. I am in control. The world does not control me. Neither let the world control you. Look at me. Look upon me. Cast your faith upon me. I'll not fail thee. I'll keep thee and sustain thee and deliver thee. Even in the midst of trouble, I'll keep thee. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. In 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. He hasn't given us a timid faith. God has given the church an overcoming faith. When you look at the patriarchs that were not full of the Holy Ghost, but lived under the covenant of Moses and the law of God of the Old Testament, they, by faith, they, through faith, they believed God. They stopped the violence of swords, shut the mouths of lions. You hear me? Unhinged empires for the sake of God. You hear me? The Bible said, wandered this earth in sheepskins and clothing, vagabonds of whom the world was not worthy. But God having a better promise for you and for me, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Brother Parker, was he not there? You'd be a corpse. There'd be a platitudes out around, a monument out here to my left in that cemetery. But God saw you through, and your natural strength will return. God said that Moses died at 120 and his natural strength was not abated. I will fear no evil. I must then submit myself to the law of God and not be governed and run over by the law of man. And I'm not anti-patriotic. But there's a lot of things that now our government has said is lawful that is not lawful with God's law. Doesn't matter who says it is. Doesn't matter what pulpit backs wrong. You better stand for right. I don't hate anybody. You hear me? I believe that God can save a homosexual. Just cast the devil out of them, if they want to be free. Most of them don't want to be free, and they want to bring their pernicious ways into the house of God and pervert the house of God, pervert your kids. I'm against that. Let it be labeled. Let them send it to whoever. I like the way y'all sound. Because we had laryngitis in what was called the charismatic renewal, was no difference than the Arabic Spring. The Arabic Spring in the Middle East destroyed governments, tore down boundaries, and gave rise to the Brotherhood of Islam, which gives credibility to ISIS. And now the world stands at the threshold of World War III. Now, look back. With this charismatic renewal, with no standard of righteousness, no preaching of holiness, and succumbing to every bad ordinances of man, we produced a church that's afraid to stand up. If you'll trust in God. And I'm telling you something, folks. If
dealing with the infantry has wearied this American Pentecostal Holiness Church. We're about to face the onslaught of the horsemen and the chariots. It's going to get bad. But I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, amen, will comfort me. In the New Testament, it says here concerning this subject of fear in the Hebrew or in the Greek, it means, I won't let it get a hold of me. How can I keep it from getting a hold of me? By keeping my mind stayed upon the Lord. Said that's oversimplified. Well, the gospel is to be preached in its simplicity. With our overwhelming study from the Hebrew and the Greek and the writings of the great philosophers of the past, we made the gospel some mysterious writings and ordinances that only the educated can understand. And we've shot ourselves in the foot. I will not let it get a hold of me. And if I do, I'm going to find me an altar and pray and let God get it off of me. Because fear hath torment. Oh, I heard the story. Young couple getting married in 2 months. Husband found his wife to be. They were to meet at a piece of property, a little house they were buying. It had a basement in it, and she got there early. She was looking over, and when her espoused husband-to-be got there, he found her sitting at the top of the flight of the stairs, weeping. And he said, "Darling, what's wrong with you?" She said, "I'm just sitting here thinking about when you and I are married, a few years down the road, and God bless us with children." She said, "We're going to have to build some kind of door right here. Our little children will tumble down these stairs and fall down into that black hole down there, break their necks, break bones." And she's just to him. She said, "Look at this big old beam up here that holds the top floor up from crashing in on the basement." She said, "We hadn't even checked for whether or not we've got the bugs, you know, the termites. They may have bored through that. That may be weak. And we may have downstairs an extra bedroom. And well, what if the termites have eaten through this board and they're down there asleep and it gives way and crashes in?" And she said, "Darling, what are we going to do?" He said, "I'm going to find you a psychiatrist. You're a nut." We create. We give wings to the cockatrice. The imagination of the man. Dwell on it long enough. Fret over it long enough. No wonder he said, "I'll not fret." Fret produces fear. Fear produces torment. Torment produces nervous condition, mental anxiety, manifested in the flesh. The thing that I greatly fear is come upon. Isn't it a lot more simple just to go and kneel down beside your bed, put all today's trouble underneath the blood, wash yourself by the washing of the Word of God, and put your tomorrow in the hands of Almighty God that's already there, and live by the Word of God and not by the flesh? I will fear no evil. And then it tells us why. Because Thou art with me. Let me climax and close with 4 good things. Number 1, you've got the love of the Father. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son,
that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm not going to perish because I put my faith and confidence in the love of God the Father, manifested in the incarnation, God the Son. We've got the ever-abiding Christ. We've got the overshadowing love of the Father. And we've got the abiding Son of God that said, if you believe in Me, if you trust Me, if you follow Me, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Some of you remember several years ago when my older brother was working storm relief. Ice storm come through northern Alabama. And they were short on journeymen and such. And so they were just hiring novices and everybody else to work storm relief, cut trees and such. And had seven journeymen on a line. Line is dead. But they got a novice down there at the truck playing around down there. Found him a set of jacks and long sticks that kicked them jacks on and off. And he gets down there playing. And there while playing, sticks that long-handled jack into that jack and kicks it on and fries seven men down that line, off that line. 7,200 volts hit my brother. He's the first one on the line. You hear me? Six other men would fall. He fell among the bush and the bramble 30 feet, laying there, not knowing he's unconscious. There stands a man right there with him, looking down at him, standing looking, just had his arms folded, had on a light tan color wool suit standing there. And Joey looked up at him and said, "How am I?" And the man said, "You will be all right." The ambulance come. They load him in the ambulance. He's unconscious. He don't know he's in the world, but he's conscious to another world. That man loads up on that ambulance, and he never sat down. That ambulance is a rocking and a jolty, and they're racing towards a Birmingham burn clinic where my brother, that man, stand. Never waddled, never swayed. Stood there, and my brother said, "How am I?" And the man said, "It's bad, but it's all right." He stayed unconscious for days. And he said, "For days, I'm laying there looking at a man stand beside." Said he never administered medicine. He never gave any advice. He just stood. Never broke. Amen. Never unfolded his arms. I'm telling you what, God Almighty, He don't have to stand up and do 25 jumping jacks. He don't have to warm up. He don't have to stretch Himself to, amen, develop some type of strength to be able to do anything. He's all power. Hallelujah. My brother come to. He asked that nurse, "Who's that man that stood here by my side?" "What man? We never saw anybody." Thank God there's the ever-abiding Son of God. Close your eyes to this life. But if your eyes have been anointed with the eye salve of faith and you've got confidence in God Almighty, I'm not looking for angels, a band of them to come. He said, "Precious in the sight of God is the death of one of His saints." He'll be there. The Son of God that ever abided. Not only do we have the overshadowing love of God the Father, the abiding Son of God that sticketh closer than a brother, we've got the indwelt Holy Ghost. He lives in us. When you prayed through and the Spirit of God came into your soul, He set up residency on the throne of your heart. He cuts through all bureaucracy, all unbelief. And by faith, He has a direct line to God the Father and God the Son. The mediator, God the Son, will carry your petition to God the Father that so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You're not alone. I will fear no evil. Not only do you have the overshadowing love of the Father, the ever-abiding, resurrected, glorified Christ closer than a brother. Not only do you have the indwelt Holy Ghost, but God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost has dispatched angelic beings that encamp about them that love the Lord, lest they hit their toe on a stone. I like that. So not only do you have the overshadowing love of the Father, the ever-abiding, glorified Christ of eternity, closer than a brother, not only the indwelling Holy Ghost, not only encamped about by angels. How many of you in here is completely human? You know you're human. You're in a fleshly body. How many of you ever saw God the Father? Not a one. How many of you ever saw the incarnate Christ? Outside of vision or dream, not a one, because henceforth no man shall know me after the flesh. And he went away. How many of you ever saw the Holy Ghost? No, you saw the effects and felt the effects. And you understand he come to glorify the Son and the Father, not speak of himself. How many of you... Hallelujah. Blessed Lord. Give me the word, O God. Talk to this people. Magnify your name. That Holy Ghost just saying amen. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. The overshadowing love of the Father, the ever-abiding love of the Son of God, the indwelling Holy Ghost encamped about by angels. But we're human. We haven't ever saw God at any time. And in the conflicts of life, He gives us one other. Amen. Nail in a sure place we can hang on to. He give me you. And He gave you me. The body. The fellowship. Flesh and blood. I believe I could call Brother Joe at 2:30 a.m. in the morning and describe a crisis. And if he couldn't get to me, I do believe that he would carry my petition to God. One can put 1,000 to flight. 2 can put 10,000 to flight. I will fear no evil. I've got the overshadowing love of the Heavenly Father. I've got the indwelling, ever-present Christ. I'm indwelt by the Holy Ghost. I'm camped about by angelic beings, and He gave me a part of the fellowship of the body of Christ. I, fellow servants of God, understanding no trial nor temptation hath taken you except that which is coming unto all men. And with every fiery trial and temptation, God has made a way of escape. I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Stand to your feet. Oh, Lamb of God. Glory to God. Now, being that we've already voted and we've affirmed we're all in the flesh,